2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there being a falling away. Everyone say falling away.
Falling away.
A falling away first, and the son of the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He's referring to the Antichrist. So that he's, as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember, ye not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. That's iniquity, that's referring to sin, lawlessness. It already does work. Only he who now lets will let until he's taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy by the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan in all power and signs of lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that all might be condemned, who have not believed the truth, but have delighted the wickedness. Father, we thank you for this time together. We assemble in your name, Lord. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you that all scripture is given by you, Lord. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. We thank you, Lord, that this is not, we receive it not as if it was from man, but from God, who gives us His Holy Spirit. And Lord, we yield to you. We yield this service over to your hands. We come up against the spirit of the Antichrist in this church, in our hearts, coming up against our families. We bind every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places and connection that coming up against this church, every spirit of Antichrist, we rebuke it. We come up against it in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just thank you for your Spirit coming upon me right now to deliver this message as it has been taught. And Father, I just thank you that your anointing and your power breaks every yoke of bondage off the people. I come up against every lying spirit, every deceiving spirit, and I command them to leave this place and leave these people and never return in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the right words being spoken. We humble ourselves and we come to receive from the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we know, according to this chapter, that there is a man who we know and understand is going to be the Antichrist, but there is also a spirit of Antichrist that is already at work. In fact, it was already at work from the day that Christ rose from the dead. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the children of disobedience. In fact, it's we are in such an hour that the spirit of the Antichrist is planting churches in the name of Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist is working in Christians who claim to be Christians, and it's working very powerfully. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist is coming to such a level that it's hard to detect and it's hard to see because you're so used to looking at dead, dry churches. Are you with me tonight? This is serious business. Now, before the Antichrist himself is revealed, two things have to happen. And he says this. Two things have to happen. Verse 3, there has to come a falling away first. That is the apostasy of the church. That's the falling away of the body, the true body of believers from the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. A falling away first. And then, the next thing that has to take place is that the true born-again, Spirit-filled believers have to be taken out of the way. The Holy Ghost in particular, the Holy Ghost-filled believers, us tongue-talking believers who believe what God's Word says and speak in tongues, who pray God's will into the earth, we need to be removed from the earth. So there has to be a falling away of the church, and then the true born-again, Spirit-filled believers must be removed from the earth in order for the Antichrist himself as a man to be revealed. Now, I've taught you this many times, that the Antichrist is not going to take over the whole world, according to the book of Daniel, contrary to popular belief. And what I mean by that is he, as a government official, he's going to rule over a specific province. He's going to rule over the old Roman Empire territory in particular, and he's going to enforce a law that everyone in that area of the world has to take his mark, worship his image, and anyone who does not worship the image or take the mark will be beheaded. Now, a lot of people believe that the Antichrist is going to take over the whole world. Well, there is some truth to that. But the reality of the matter is he can't even overtake that part of the world. Can't even do it. Because there's going to be people coming up against him. It says the king of the north is going to come up against him. There's going to be other nations coming up against him, hindering his work. And he can't even overcome Jerusalem completely by the end of his 3.5-year reign. So how could he possibly force the entire world to take the mark of the beast? But let me tell you something. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work even in the United States. And there will be many in the United States, including Christians that are listening to my voice right now. There will be Christians who take the mark of the beast willingly. And he's not going to have to force them to do it. I hope you heard me. I said there will be Christians who are backslidden who will take the mark of the beast. This is very, very serious message tonight. I hope it's not you. So before the Antichrist himself is actually revealed, there has to be a falling away of the church, which is known as the apostasy of the church. Now, everybody's believing for revival, but every scripture points it in the last days that the church is actually going to backslide directly before the rapture. I've prophesied this, we've spoken it and taught on it, that there's going to be a separation in the coming days of true believers from false believers. There's a separation taking place. And this separation will result in the virgins who are awake and ready, who have the information necessary to receive salvation and deliverance from what is to come, who've acted upon God's word and who are caught up together with the dead in Christ who raised first and Christ in the clouds of the air, from the believers who claim the name of Christ, who lie, who cheat, who steal, who exaggerate, who smoke, who drink, who do all the things this world do, who are deceived into thinking that they're actually partaking of Christ, there's going to be a separate between those two groups. You understand me? True believers and false believers. Now, this spirit of the Antichrist is at work right now, even in churches in America. It's at work right now in the hearts. In fact, this spirit of the Antichrist is coming against every Christian who worships God. This spirit of the Antichrist is at work. There are two Christs in the earth. Two Christs. Two spirits of Christ. One who is in the spirit of true believers. We partake in of Christ. We have the spirit of Christ, the born-again new nature at work within us. And there is another Christ at work who is the Antichrist. There will be a Christ in your life. Every person in the face of the earth has a Christ at work within them, whether it be the spirit of the Antichrist or the spirit of Jesus Christ. I've told and warned before that you're going to be full of either the spirit of this world, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, or you're going to be full of God, which is the spirit of Christ. We're going to be full of one or the other. There is no middle ground. No middle ground. Now, I want you to turn on over to 1 John Chapter 2, I'm going to establish this at Scripture so you can see what I'm talking about. This is a very, very clear revelation in Scripture. And my hope, by the end of this message, that it either causes you to repent and get serious about your relationship with God, or you'll at least take it to heart and These words will be planted in you as a seed and it will grow through my prayers. Because I'm telling you right now that most of the body of Christ is backslidden. Most of the body of Christ. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Many Antichrists. Now he's referring to the spirit of the Antichrist that is at work in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit of Satan. Satan and the Antichrist are in cohorts. They are one and the same. Satan is against Christ. Every spirit that does not willingly submit their whole hearts, every fiber of their being, 100% submission to Christ, every person who does not willingly submit their whole life over to Jesus, 100% has the spirit of Antichrist already at work in them. It's already at work. Already at work in you. And I'll prove it to you. Go back to verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, if anyone loves this world system, if anybody is actually comfortable living in this wicked and corrupt generation, he says the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world, from the spirit of the Antichrist. According to verse 18. Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That means you're willingly submitted your whole heart. Every fiber of your being is willingly submitted to doing God's will. You live, you breathe, you move in God. Every decision you make, you consult God first. Everything you do, you're crying out to God, asking Him for help. If there's a job change coming, you're asking God for direction. When you wake up in the morning, the first words out of your mouth are praises or tongues, praying out to God your Father, because you, just like Jesus, are fully submitted over to Him. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. We're supposed to walk as Jesus did. 1 John 2:6. He said, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. Now we know that Jesus, the way He walked, was in full submission to God. And if someone is not, if they're only 90% submitted to God, they still have that spirit of the Antichrist is working in them. I don't think so, Pastor. I'm telling you right now that you need to grab a hold of this message, because there's some deception coming into this world, and those who are not fully submitted over to Jesus are going to get pulled into this world, and they will take the mark of the beast. And He will not have to force them to do it, because that spirit is already at work, not only in the Middle East, not only is it work in the United States, that spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the social media, in your magazines, in your theater, in your newspapers, in your movies. It is at work. It's a blasphemous spirit mocking Christ. It's in your cartoons that your children watch. If you still watch this world system of TV, it is at work. And it is on a mission to take Christ off His rightful place in your heart and seat itself with itself, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to say this when, and I just want to say this according to 1 John 2:15, that those who will partake of the Antichrist when He comes, those who already have the spirit of the Antichrist in them, are those who are consumed by the lust of this world. He described that in three areas, didn't He? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you are still controlled by the lust of this flesh, If you're still able to be pulled here and there by lusts, by desires that are not coming from God's throne, then that spirit is already at work in your heart, and it's trying to unseat Christ from his rightful place where he deserves to be. Now, so there's two Christs in the earth, the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. And every person on the face of this earth, they have a Christ in their life. They do have him. And I'll describe to you, I just want to make this very clear, if you're not fully surrendered over to God, then you have that other Christ in your life, which is the Antichrist. He's already worked. Not the person of the Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, the spirit of the Antichrist has already gone forth. He's been at work for over 2,000 years now. And his mission is to prepare the hearts of the people so when the Antichrist himself comes, that it's going to be just like him walking through a piece of paper. He's not going to have to force the people to accept him. They will willingly receive him as their God. They will willingly worship him. He's not going to have to force them. Because as you know, and I'll prove that to you, the ones who absolutely refuse to worship him are the true Christians in the end times. The true Christians. Those are the only ones that refuse to worship him, so he beheads them. All the rest of them, he doesn't have to force them. They're going to be willingly yielded over to his spirit because it's already been working in him for over 2,000 years. It's been working humanity. And he's setting the stage. That spirit has gone forth in all the earth. That spirit is in control of MTV. That spirit is in control of your social media, your newspapers, your theater, your secular television shows, your cartoons. That spirit is programming humanity to be in one spirit, in one mind, and one body with the spirit of the Antichrist. Do you believe me? Do you see it? I hope you can discern this, because if you can't, he already has consumed you. We need to recognize these things and be on guard against it. Now, Paul warned. Before I get into this, I want to go to verse 22 real quick to further prove this point. Verse 22, 1 John 2. It says this: who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's an Antichrist. He's an Antichrist. Now, everybody will say, well, I know Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but a mental belief in Jesus is not enough. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, you believe in God? Good. Even the devil believes and trembles. When you want to know, foolish man, the faith without works is dead. Titus 1, 15 and 16, he says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. In other words, their actions speak a whole lot louder than their words. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But they're doing things that are irrational. They're doing things that are so far from the heart of God that you take a look at that person and you think, well, we're supposed to inspect people by their fruit, he said. That's what he said. We take a look at their fruit, and the fruit they're producing does not line up with the book, not even remotely close. They're doing things that are dangerous. They're doing things that are very irresponsible. Doesn't quite line up with God. Not the way he describes a Christian to be. We're supposed to hold up a standard of holiness and morality and wisdom. Now, going up back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I just want to tell you to keep your finger there. We're going to be coming back and forth there many times. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I want to show you who the target is of this spirit of the Antichrist. Let's start in verse 3. Talks about the man doomed to destruction. That's the Antichrist. He, the Antichrist, will oppose. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, anyone who worships Jesus Christ, anyone who worships the true and living God in spirit and in truth is a target of the Antichrist. I'm talking about true believers. You know, we teach about the walk of the Spirit, fasting, praying, meditating God's Word, doing everything we can to put that old man to death, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and to put on the new man. Anyone who's actually acting upon God's Word, the principles that this pastor teaches and many other pastors teach, the walk of the Spirit, so we can enter into the power of God and become more useful to God through fasting and prayer and meditation, the transformation process, and who actually lift up their hands and worship to God and pray in other tongues. They are the ones who are the object that the Antichrist spirit is after. He's trying to destroy those types of believers. So if you are one of those believers who actually practices these principles with your whole heart, don't be surprised when all hell is poured out upon you. Don't be surprised when every damnable thing that the devil can think of is poured out upon you and your household and he's trying to destroy you. Don't be surprised because the Antichrist wants your worship. The spirit of the Antichrist wants to take God's worship away. Look at here. Take a look here. He, the Antichrist, will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worship. That means the spirit of the Antichrist is going to oppose true believers who worship God. He's going to oppose those who are truly yielded over the Holy Spirit. He's going to try to steal the worship. The devil is out to steal and kill and destroy the worship of God in your life. Can you see that? He wants to stop you from worshiping God. What did he do when he tempted Jesus? Bow down, Jesus, and worship me. I'll give it all to you. It's all mine. I give it to whoever I want. Just get down on your knees, Son of God, and worship me. It's that same spirit. Satan wants your worship. The spirit of the Antichrist wants to rob God of all the praises. I want to tell you this, going over to 2 Peter, keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, hallelujah, Jesus. Second Peter chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, clouds without rain, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Talking about false teachers here. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them that live in error. It says in the NIV 1984, by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. So this spirit of the Antichrist, we're going to talk about the spirit of the Antichrist in the work of the churches. We're going to talk about that just a moment. But he's making it very clear that these false teachers, and in the context of this chapter, he's talking about false teachers, that they are going to entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. In other words, baby believers that don't understand the things of the Spirit, they don't understand God's Word. You know, there's a lot of believers today, I've seen them. I mean, they portray themselves real spiritual. They pray in the Holy Ghost and they tell you about all their dreams and this and that. You start having conversations with these believers and you find out they know nothing of the Word whatsoever. Which means they also know nothing of the Spirit and they're being deceived by deceiving spirits or familiar spirits. God's not able to use them to the degree that He wants to quite yet. We need to know the Word of God. Amen? We need to know what God's Word says. And you're not going to know it by 2-3 chapters a day, my friend. The devil's going to steal that Word from your heart. You need to live in this book. You need to meditate it day and night like God commanded us to really know what the Word of God says, don't you? So this spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the churches today. You see them, they pop up overnight. There's 1,000 people. They put their Starbucks in there. There's nothing wrong at Starbucks, except for the fact that there's a witch on their label. Nothing wrong with the coffee. Nothing wrong in having good coffee in their church. They have great contemporary worship. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that is wrong is what is coming out of that claiming pastor's mouth. And the way they allure through the lust of the flesh is by appealing to the flesh by only preaching around the perimeters of the flesh. They never hit to the heart. But when God told us preachers, He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Correct, correct, correct. That means tell people when they got dirt on their face. Correct them. Correct, rebuke. That word rebuke, if you break it down in the Greek, it actually means to give someone an earful. To give them an earful. To give them a talking down to. You can look this up if you don't believe me. To give them a talking to. To bring one down to size. And to encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So we're supposed to preach the word. And we know according to Hebrews 4:12, He said these words. He said, the word of God, which us preachers are supposed to be preaching, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates and dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's the flesh, my friends. It judges. God's word judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. What is He saying? When us preachers preach the word, it should cut right through your flesh. It should judge the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. By the time that preacher is done with this message, you should be convicted and know what you need to change. Yet these preachers starting their mega churches, through a theory, through a well-planned out scheme, a business plan, they start these mega churches and they preach around the perimeters of the flesh. There's no conviction. There's no talking about hell for sure. There's no talking about judgment to come. There's no talking about turning from a lifestyle of sin. There's no talking about holiness or righteousness. They talk about righteousness in Christ, but they don't talk about living righteously. When God said the elementary truths of the word are such things. He said in Hebrews chapter 5, He said, we have much to explain about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. To distinguish good from evil. That's what maturity in Christianity is. It's not how many gifts of the Spirit, how many prophecies you give. Maturity is the ability to distinguish good from evil. And then in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says this, let us therefore leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. Does everyone understand? Wave your hand at me if you understand what a foundation is. You guys must be sleeping. I don't see anybody waving at me. Wave your hand at me if you know what a foundation is. A foundation is what the house is built upon. We want a strong foundation. Otherwise, like Jesus said, the man who built his house on the sand, it fell on the sand, it fell with a great crash, didn't it? Because it had a shaky foundation. It had a weak foundation. And then he tells you what the foundation of the foundational doctrines, the elementary doctrines of Christ are right there in Hebrews 6, verse 1. He says, let us therefore leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. That's repenting from sin, my friends. Repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. That's heaven or hell. And God permitting, we will do so. And then he goes on and establishes part of that when he says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who've tasted the heavenly gift, who shared the Holy Spirit, who tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, If they fall away, he just made it very clear. He's talking about a Christian who's born again, filled with the Spirit, knows the Word of God. It's impossible if they fall away to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. It is impossible. He says, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and produces a crop useful for those to whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. That's what the Bible says. I don't care who taught you what. My Bible says if you're a plant, if you are in a field and you are producing thorns and thistles, you are in danger of being cursed. If you're producing a crop useful to God, in other words, if you're planted in the church, in a good born-again, Spirit-filled church, a real church of God, and you're involved in that church, and you're producing a crop for Him, you will receive the blessing of God. But if you're not producing any kind of crop, and all you're producing is thorn seeds and problems, and everywhere you go, problems follow you. Everywhere you go, those problems follow you. Uncomfort follows everywhere you go. Problems. Nothing good being produced. You are producing thorn seeds. He says that that type of land is worthless and is in danger, great danger of being cursed. You judge for yourself. Now, I believe you're the better of the two. He said, God will not forget your work and the love you've shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And he's talking about those who help, not just have the mindset and say, I want to help, but they don't do anything. He says He doesn't want us to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience receive what He has promised. That's all in Hebrews chapter 6 there. Now, I just want to say this. Lazy, careless Christians. Lazy, careless Christians who do not read the Word of God. They don't live in the Word of God. They don't spend much time in the Word of God. They don't spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. And they don't fast, because it's uncomfortable. Lazy, careless Christians that do these things, they already have the spirit of the Antichrist working in them. Not me, Pastor Dan. I hope not. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't spend time in God's presence every day, if He's not the real Lord of your life, that word Lord means master. Master. That means that you bow at His feet in everything that you do, you take orders from Him. If that's not you, then you are falling in that category of a lazy, careless Christian who the Antichrist spirit is already at work in you. You need to stand up and rebuke that thing and humble yourself and repent and give your whole heart to Jesus. Because the spirit of the Antichrist has one mission, and that is to completely destroy you one bite at a time. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers and sisters around the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I don't like this type of teaching, Pastor Dan. You seem angry. You better believe that I am angry at the devil, and I'm angry at sin. Us preachers are shepherds, and we're after the wolf. We're trying to save your souls. But we cannot save you unless you willingly submit to our authority and willingly submit yourselves to God's Word. You have to save yourself. Jesus already did pay the price to save you. But it's up to you to save yourselves from this wicked and corrupt generation by making the right choices. Let me continue reading this from 2 Peter. He says, by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error, baby believers. They entice them because when they come over to a preacher like this preacher's church, if their heart has the spirit of the Antichrist working in it, if they're not willing to be corrected, if they're not willing to receive correction from the Spirit of God, and they get upset about it, and they leave, and they will go to another church, and they're going to find a church that preaches around the perimeters of the flesh. And let me tell you why. Because they make them feel good. Everybody's looking for a feel-good message today. They're more led by what they feel than by what they believe. They're more led by their emotions than by what God's Word says. And as a result, they fall in that level of carnality that he talked about over there in Jude. He said, these be they that separate themselves, sense-ruled. sense rule. They're more dominated by what they feel, by what their emotions dictate to them, by than what the Bible dictates to them. They're carnal. And because they're not willing to go further into God, they step back and go back to these churches and preach around the perimeters of the faith. Oh, Pastor Dan, I like brother so-and-so. He's a big preacher, he's a big name, and he tells me nice, warm, and fuzzy messages. But does that guy care for your soul? Does he love you? Does he love you enough to tell you that when you are standing right next to a flame of a house that is about to explode, does he warn you about it because you can't see it? Because you're still blind? Does he do that for you? Is he a shepherd that can see the wolf coming? You know, there's one thing about sheep. They only have, is it called peripheral vision? What is it called? Say it again. What's the one you can only see forward? Tunnel vision. Sheep have tunnel vision. They can only see what's going on in front of them. That's a fact. They can't see left and right so good. But a shepherd can see all around them. They have the peripheral vision. They can see everywhere, right? So as a result, a true shepherd of God can see the wolf. He can look over the crowd. There's been times when I've preached and I have looked over the crowd and I thought, who in the world is that? And I looked at that person and I squinted as I preached and I thought, I've never seen this person before in my life. And then I realized that discerning of spirits had slipped upon me and I was seeing the demon that they're possessed by. And after church, I realized that was someone that's been sitting in here for weeks. And I thought, my goodness, that person was so ugly when I was preaching at them. Let me tell you what that is. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. I can't tell you how many times I've looked over the crowd and seen demonic spirits possessing the sheep. Because they're involved in willing sin. And they're not willing to humble themselves and fully submit themselves over to God. And as a result, the spirit of the Antichrist is at work in them, trying to unseat God from the throne in their hearts. He says this about these people. Verse 19, they promise them freedom. These preachers promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world, that means they're born again, by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again are entangled in it. Entangled in what? The world. Corruption. And overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. How many Christians, let me ask you a question. How many Christians do you know personally who've gone back to their old habits? Who've gone back to their old lifestyle of sins? I've seen people who at one time committed adultery come in and repent and say this and that. We love you. We love Jesus. I just want to do what's right. And then Satan comes with a more subtle form of adultery to take them to hell. I've seen it. I've watched him. He knows. He watches. He knows your weaknesses. And the spirit of the Antichrist is going to try to unseat Jesus from your throne where he once was seated. And he's going to try one step at a time to devour you. And if one level, if the blatantly obvious type of adultery doesn't work, he's going to come with a more subtle form of adultery. Because adultery is adultery, my friends. Jesus said even lust after someone is adultery. Amen. And right immediately after that, he talked about the hellfire. He said, if your hand causes sin, cut it off. It's better for you to have one hand and be thrown into hell, he said. If your eye causes sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye, then with two eyes be thrown into hell. Matthew chapter 5, 27, 28 through 29. Now, notice it says this dog goes back to its vomit. A sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. When you backslide, you don't just backslide. You fall into something. If you were born again and you were able to backslide, that means it didn't just happen. You fall into something, and what you fall into is the spirit of the Antichrist. Why do you keep calling the spirit of the Antichrist? Because Jesus is the Word of God, and if you refuse to obey the Word of God, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. If you refuse to submit to God's Word, if you refuse to obey Jesus, who is the Word of God, you refuse to obey Christ. That means that you're yielding over to a different spirit, which is not the spirit of Christ, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's connected to the devil. They fall into the spirit. Now go over to 1 John chapter 4. Keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians if you're there. 1 John is just a couple book, one more book over to the right. For those of you that are getting familiar with your Bibles. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, dear friends, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that it confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now that we know, according to 1 John, that's not just saying Jesus is a prophet, but also that Jesus is the Son of God and He is God. Okay? You could take that scripture out of its proper setting and make it say what you want. But we know, through the laws of meditation, the whole book of John makes it very clear that he who has the Son of God has life, not he who has Jesus the prophet. Make that very clear. Now, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, he calls it. Whereof you have heard, it should come, and even now is already in the world. This is 2,000 years ago, approximately. The spirit of the Antichrist has been in the world since John's day. It's even more present in the world today. And it will be even more present in the days to come. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4, he says, he, the Antichrist himself, will oppose and exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits himself up in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Now, most people are looking for the Antichrist. They're looking over to Jerusalem right now. They're looking for the Antichrist to sit himself up in the temple. But let me tell you something. He's already in the temple. He's already in the temple. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll prove to you he's already in the temple. What do you mean he's already in the temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? You yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. Your Christians are God's temple. Christians, true Christians. Going over to chapter 6, same book. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? See, Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to establish this in you very firmly. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, let every matter be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. He talks about yoking yourself together with unbelievers. And then he says this. In verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? He's likening the Christian to a temple of God and idols to an unbeliever. My question to you is, how is it? How can it possibly be that where the Holy Ghost used to sit enthroned in someone's heart, where the Holy Ghost remains supreme, the Spirit of Christ raises their heart, how is it that someone who is possessed by the Holy Ghost can now allow the spirit of the Antichrist to sit on that throne? How can that be? Well, how does he do that, Pastor Dan? By gossip? By lying? By not telling the whole story so you can take advantage of people? By lying? 99% truth is still a lie. By lying? By deceit? By stealing? By taking advantage of people? by sexual immorality, by smoking, by drinking, by all these things. That is how you give the Antichrist seat on your throne of your heart. By sin. Sin means to break the moral law of God. And the moral law of God, I sent the text message out today. People, Gentiles, the devil just takes advantage of their ignorance. We don't want to go under law, but what Paul was talking about is going to the ordinances and the blood sacrifice of animals. Not the moral law of God. The moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, are no longer on stony tablets. They are on our hearts. We have to obey it more than they did in the Old Testament. Jesus said, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. To even look. So he makes it even, he says, you heard it was said, don't murder, but I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother is subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother, you fool's in danger of hell, he made it even more strict in this new covenant. We have to be holy, my friends. Now, it says over there in 2 Thessalonians, he wants to sit himself up in the temple enthroned as God. Now, I'm going to really cut to the heart. Can I do that? Can I allow you to help to grow and mature? This is preaching to me just as much as it's preaching to you today. Amen. The one whom you serve is your God. Doesn't matter what you claim. Doesn't matter how many times you say, Jesus is my Lord. Who are you serving? The one who really sits on the throne of your heart? The one who really sits on the throne of your heart is your God. And it's either the spirit of the Antichrist, who's already at work in the children of iniquity. It's that spirit at work in your heart, the one whom you really serve. If it's serving yourself, you're serving the spirit of the Antichrist. If you really, truly surrender your whole God, your whole life over to God. If you surrender your whole life over to God and you are actively pursuing God and seeking Him by fasting and prayer, say, God, what have you called me to do? What can I do for you, God? Your will be done, not mine, Father. If you are willingly submitted over to God, then He's your God. If not, if you're running around causing problems everywhere you go, setting it up, just giving God and everything He stands for a bad name and producing thorn seeds everywhere you go, that's the spirit of the Antichrist at work in you. To give God everything stands for a bad name. Now we know that Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, already has control over the TV, over the secular TV shows, over the media, over the newspaper, over magazines, over your published written words that are out there in the secular world, over all of the technology world as a whole. He said in 1 John 5:19, that's a bad confession, Pastor Dan. Well, God said it. He said, we know that we are the children of God, and the whole world's under the control of the evil one. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. You know that the spirit of the Antichrist is mocking God. If you, most of your modern day rappers, heavy metal music players, if you have watched any of their videos, and I don't watch them, but I know what they got in there. They are mocking Christ. There's one of your most, I'll just use his name, Little John. In the back of his video has a mocking Christ. He's up there on a cross, mocking Him, blaspheming Him. He's trying to make a mockery of Him. I seen a Lady Gaga, a clip from one of her concerts, and she was bent over making promiscuous sexual poses and mocking Christ on stage in front of thousands of people. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Guard your hearts, my friends. I don't even turn TV on in my house. It's filth. The Antichrist Church, we're going to talk about this a little bit. The church of the Antichrist is at work today. I've seen one man, in fact, I'll use his name, Joseph Prince, a well-known preacher. Don't listen to anything he teaches. He's a false teacher. I don't care. Stay away from him. He's good-looking. He dresses modern. He's intelligent. He uses Hebrew and Greek words. He can possibly preach better than I can, but he's not preaching the same gospel as I am. It's not the true gospel of Christ. It's a different gospel. As I watched him get up on stage and I heard him say that the teachings of Jesus are not relevant for today. That is a lie. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. He said, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is being preached and everyone must press his way into it. That means from John the Baptist till now, we are all preaching the kingdom of heaven. That is a lie. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. He said that Jesus went around in the name of the Father, he said. He never talked about the name of Jesus, but he really pushed the name of the Father. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, trying to program the church to get away from Jesus. To get away from Jesus' teachings, to get away from the name of Jesus, to get away from everything that had anything to do with Jesus, and to say that that's not relevant for today. That's the spirit of the Antichrist working in the church, and he's very well known. He's an author. He publishes books all over the world. Be on guard against wolves in sheep's clothing, my friends. I'm not questioning the way he lives. I'm not questioning his conduct, but I am coming up against his teaching. There's another man who started a large, humongous denominational church or non-denominational church who preaches one message on TV screens all over the world. One man, one message, a screen up in every church. They even do good deeds. They do a lot of good works. When they pass the offering bucket around, they say, if anybody's in need, just take money out of the bucket yourself. Just take. Go on and take it. They'll let you take money out of the offering. They do all sorts of good things. But let me tell you a little bit about that church. That church started on a survey. They went around and they asked unbelievers. They did not ask believers. They asked unbelievers and backsliders. They said, what would it take to get you to come back to church? Well, we only want a one-hour sermon. We don't want any conviction. We don't want to hear about hell. We don't want to hear about giving of our finances. We don't want to hear any conviction or anything about hell or any correction. I want it to be 1 hour. I want modern worship. I want lots of encouragement. And they told them, this is the type of things, similar things to what I just told you. That's what they put on this survey. And they went and literally started the church that the sinner wanted them to start. The sinner. Not the Christian, but the sinner and the backslider, which is it's equal to a sinner. It's even worse than a sinner if you backslide. You're even worse. Worse than a sinner. It's better off being a sinner than a backslider. I can tell you that right now. This asking sinners what kind of church they want and making the church revolve around what they want is equal to me going around the schools of Milwaukee County and asking those who play hooky, what kind of school would you come to? If I was going to create a school, I just want you to come back to school. We know that you used to go to school. We want you to come back to school. What is it going to take to get you to come back to school? And say, well, we want 2 hours a day. We want 3 hours a week. We want to come as we go. We don't want no arithmetic. We don't want any. We don't want any calculus. We don't want any algebra. We don't want no science. We don't want any of these things. We just want study hall all day. And we want freshman teaching to be equal to elementary school. That's what we want. We want freshmen, when we're a freshman, we want you what you taught back there in fourth grade. That's what we want. And I tell you right now, if I started a school like that, the schools would be full, wouldn't they? Would you agree with me? 2 to 3 hours a day? 3 days a week? Do whatever they want, come and go as they please. No hard, nothing that they actually have to learn, just the stuff they already know, basic stuff. That's what it is equal to when they started these churches, and they're popping up all over America, all over the place. That's the spirit of the Antichrist at work. It opposes Jesus' teachings. It opposes the name of Jesus. And it opposes holy living. They don't teach about hell. They don't teach about judgment to come like Paul told you the elementary foundational truths are in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. They don't teach about hell. You know when Paul preached to a sinner? Let me tell you what Paul preached to a sinner. In fact, I want you to see this because this is what Paul preached. Go on over to the book of Acts. Let's see if we can find it here. Now, We know the Apostle Paul, he preached the truth, didn't he? Go on over to Acts 24. We'll end here. Now, this is when they were putting Paul on trial for preaching the gospel. Now, I want you to know that when Paul was preaching to Felix, he was preaching to an unbeliever, which means he wasn't born again. Would you agree, an unbeliever?
Amen.
Not born again? But this is that Paul preached to an unbeliever. It says this in verse 25, as Paul discoursed about righteousness. Now I'm telling you, when Paul talked about righteousness, he told the church in the book of Hebrews that they weren't ready for the teaching about righteousness, and what he's talking about is righteousness by faith. So what he's discoursing here is surely not that, because if a carnal believer is not ready for that, then surely an unbeliever is not what he's talking about, is holy living, righteous living. And I'll prove it to you. Look right here. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was what? Afraid. And said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send to you. Now, I want you to see this, something you may not realize if you go to verse 24 and look at this. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. Now, let's combine the two verses together. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus, as Paul discoursed about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Let me tell you something. You cannot preach faith in Christ Jesus without discoursing on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Amen. And that's what he preached to a sinner, and it made him afraid. Which means that it put the fear of God in him. He told him about hell, the judgment to come. If you don't live righteously and control yourself and put your faith in Christ Jesus, the judgment for you to come will be hell. He preached hellfire and brimstone, just like all his true preachers will warn you about. Anybody who loves you would warn you about it. I love the subject of hell. There's oftentimes I'll type in my phone, lake of fire, and I pull up the images and I look at it and it makes me weep and cry. And it puts the passion of God in me for to go out and win the lost. And it reminds me, it makes me so scared of God to sin that I just don't even want to be in a room with anybody who's involved in sin. It puts the fear of God in a person. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It purifies us. These preachers don't preach about hell. They don't preach about the judgment to come. They don't preach about it because they know that they're going to get more results out of your pocketbook and they're going to have bigger churches as a result. They're more concerned about their agenda, which is to build a business, than God's agenda, which is to disciple human beings, to make them disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. They're false teachers. Woe to them. They've taken the way of Cain. They've rushed for profit into Balaam's ear. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't allow that spirit of Antichrist to be at work in you. We need to get after our families and quit being complacent about it. If you have family who once knew the Lord Jesus, you need to get after them. Go knock on their door and tell them they need to repent or they're going to burn in hell. Because those Christians who've backslidden have a much, much more severe judgment if they stay backslidden than any unbeliever. Because they knew Jesus. They knew what the Word said. They had the conviction. They once lived according to the principles. They tasted it. They knew that it was real. But that dog returned back to its vomit. It's lying. It's stealing. It's cheating. It's gossip. It's garbage. It's filth. And went back to that. And as a result, Jesus said hypocrites are going to have a much more strict judgment. He said he who's been entrusted with much, much more will be demanded. He who had been entrusted with much will be beaten with many blows, he said. Let us not let that spirit at work in us. Let us And the way, Pastor Dan, how can I keep that spirit out of me? I feel like what you're describing, I didn't know that I had the spirit of the Antichrist at work in my life. But after what you described, I really feel like he really is. What can I do? You can, right today, you can make a true, genuine repentance and give your whole heart, every fiber of your being. You would need to be one heart and one mind and one accord with the Spirit of Jesus, which is to surrender your life to His whole will, to go forth, to fulfill His plan for your life with every fiber, every ounce of your being. No more laziness, no more complacency, no more half-heartedness. Because if you don't, you're in danger of partaking of that mark that's about to come. If we're still here, that is. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of these people to genuinely give their whole hearts over to you, Lord. I pray, Father, from this day they would never view things the same. I pray that they would act upon what was said tonight. I pray for these people here that the conviction of God falls upon them and everyone who listens to this message online. I pray, Father, that you would let them live before your judgment throne every second of their life, that they might judge themselves so they don't have to be judged, but instead can be judged righteously in Christ. Father, I pray that you'd fill these people, consume them with such a hunger for the things of God, such a hunger for holiness and hunger for righteousness, they can't even stand false Christians. They can't even stand in the presence of them. They can't even be in the same room with them. They despise sin. They can't even be in the same room with mockers or sit in the seat of the scornful. But instead, they stand like a palm tree planted by the water and meditate your word day and night, Father. Oh, Father, I pray you'd consume them with the hunger for your word, a relentless hunger for your word that they can't even stand to do anything but hear your word. Every minute of every day, they're so hungry for your word that they cry out and they can't even stand to do anything but read your word. In these last days, Lord. Father, I pray your spirit would come upon them and just possess them through and through. I pray their whole spirit, souls, and bodies may be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want everybody to lift up your hands right now and just worship God. Father, we just ask for your forgiveness, Lord, from all complacency, from all difference, indifference, Lord, from all laziness. Forgive us, Lord, for not doing what's right in every situation, Father. Forgive us for all the things that are not pure in your eyes, Father. You said that he who has faith in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Help us to be pure and holy. You said without holiness no one will see the Lord. Father, I just ask you to work in their hearts right now. I just ask for your spirit to fall upon them right now and to purge and prune them of everything unholy by the fire of the Holy Ghost, Father. I pray you'd burn it out of them. Everyone say these words with me from your heart. Let's just make sure that there's nothing. Let's just be sure that we're right with God. Say, God, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me. I'm done following my own way. I will no longer serve myself. I will no longer serve the spirit of the Antichrist. I will only serve Jesus Christ. I confess Jesus as my Lord. He sits on the throne of my heart. I am fully surrendered from this moment forward. My whole heart is yours, Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. I want to be one mind. I want to be one heart. One purpose with your heart. My heart beats to your heart. I surrender every fiber of my being. Spirit, soul, and body. To you, Jesus. You're my master. You're my Lord. Help me, Lord. Give me grace. Give me strength. Forgive me, Lord, for all known sin. Forgive me, Lord, for all unknown sin. And help me to live for you. I confess you, Jesus, you're my Lord. I live for you and you alone. In Jesus' name, I renounce the spirit of the Antichrist. I renounce every sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce the occult. I renounce lying. I renounce stealing. I renounce all murderous spirits and hatred. I renounce every spirit of this world. Every spirit of filth. I renounce lust. I renounce lust. And I yield to the Holy Spirit from this moment forward with every fiber of my being. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just praise and we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We draw closer to you every day, Father. We just thank you for working in us, Father. We glorify you and exalt you and magnify. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. We praise you and worship you, Lord. We don't want the Antichrist working in us. We don't want to be ready for his coming to yield to that spirit when he's announced, Lord. We want to be fully surrendered to Jesus and renounce all such garbage. We praise you and worship you, Jesus. You're worthy. We are worthy, Jesus. You're 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 worthy, Jesus. We're yours. We're yours. We're yours.